仙台
外国語情報番組多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は仙台観光国際協会センティアが英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で毎月トピックを書いて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当はアイルランド出身のイーライと
カナダ出身のチェシアと
ブルガリア出身のカリアンです。
今月のテーマは夏の暑さ対策についてです。今日は英語でお送りいたします。 Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Sentia in English, Chinese, Korean and Easy Japanese. My name is Eli and I'm from Ireland.
My name is Tasha and I'm from Canada.
And my name is Kawian and I'm from Bulgaria.
Our topic for today is beating the heat. So we're now into August, the month of the year when Japan tends to reach its highest temperatures. This August we are set to see record-breaking temperatures yet again.And just going by the temperature, many people coming from warmer countries may think they'll have no problems with the heat. However, Japan's summer is especially humid, which brings its own special challenges. So, how exactly do we prepare ourselves against it? And what should we do if we become unwell due to the soaring temperatures? With these questions in focus, I'd like to spend today's episode talking with everyone about measures we can take against the summer heat. And we hope those of you listening will be able to take something away that will help you make it through and enjoy the rest of the summer. So, it is warm.
It's horrible. I hate it.
It is very hot. I was actually looking just before starting recording this episode. I think this and the last two episodes all have something to do with the heat, which just shows how incredibly hot it's been this year.
Yep.
So what's your own country like in terms of summer? Like, is it this bad? Is it this warm?
Nope.
So what's Canada like so?
Canada, generally speaking, has cooler summers.
Okay.
So, in like Vancouver, which is where I'm from, usually the average temperature is like 20 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's not hot, but mind you, a lot of houses like don't have air cons. So, if the temperature gets any hotter than that, then everyone suffers. So, like, on a good year, though, like, yeah, it's like 18 to maybe like 22. There's like, that's the general range of when the temperature is. But it's also a lot drier than Japan. So Japan, I think like the reason why the heat's so unbearable is because it's really, really humid. Like I remember the first day of me landing in Japan in Tokyo, the humidity was 98%.
Jesus.
Which I felt like a fish I felt like a fish inside the ocean. I'm like, I'm literally breathing water into my lungs. This is not good. This is not how humans should live. But like in Canada, like during the summer, it's really, really freaking dry. I mean, it's just like a drier country in general. But like summers are really dry, so we have bushfires like in Japanese Yamakaji every year on like a really big scale, which I don't feel like we see a lot of that in Japan. So I guess there's
actually,
like pros and cons to that, right? Like nicer weather, but also a lot of fire.
Yeah. And like those wildfires and stuff, is there a specific time of the year that they kind of always happen? Is it a year? Is it every year?
So forest fires are actually really interesting. Like Canada is constantly burning. So like, so usually forest fires starts in maybe late May. And it really gets really, really bad in like mid-July to like August. So the first part of summer, like May and June, it's generally fine, like you don't get a lot of smog or anything. But once you get to like July and August, if you're in Alberta or British Columbia, the sky's just red all the time because of the smoke and like all the debris that's like flying, you know, from the forest into the city. Oh yeah, it's really funny though, because that's usually for international students going into Canada, that's usually the first thing they see when they land in the airport.
It's the country burning.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, why is the sky red? And we're like, welcome to Canada.
What about Bulgaria? So is your country in flames all the time?
Not that I know, at least it's not famous for that.
Yeah.
But it is a lot drier than Japan as well.
Okay.
So like I used to dislike summer when I was in Bulgaria as well, because it still gets hot. Like in some areas, even quite hot. I think like my village, for example, when I go home for the summer, it can get very, very hot, like 40 degrees.
Oh, wow!
It's still not humid, so you can like escape in the shade a bit more. And like if you have like a fan or something to like blow air, it's like, I'd say you know, you can live.
Yeah.
You can live. But yeah, when I first experienced summer in Japan, it was like my first trip to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I decided to come into summer because I just didn't know better. And I also went to Kansai, which is especially hot in summer as well.
Right.
So yeah, it's very different.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But yeah.
I think that's a really common mistake, actually. I think that a lot of people, especially when they come to Japan as tourists, do. Lately, there's been a huge increase in tourism to like Kansai, Kyoto, Osaka area. And I remember watching a few videos on YouTube of like, you know, reporting on the tourism boom that's happening. And like almost all the comments of Japanese people are like, these guys are so brave for coming in summer. It's like, it's like, of all times, why now, you know?
I'm guessing a lot of those are probably people in like summer breaks,
yeah.
Like university age students,
easier,
or like parents trying to travel with their children who only gets like, yeah, you know, those few months off in the summer. Yeah. So
yeah, but I've explicitly said to my parents as well, it's like, if you're visiting me, just don't come in summer. Like any other time is better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. See, and then if like Ireland, then it's like I guess our temperatures would be similar enough to Canada summer wise. Mm. Like we'd break 20 sometimes, yeah, and then it would feel hot at 21, 22.
Yeah.
As in relative to what we're used to. But then we are quite humid.
Oh, really?
But it's like we don't get humid at hot, if that makes sense. It never gets hot enough that it like becomes kind of clingy, like,
yeah,
you know, mushiyatsusa, as they say in Japanese. Yeah. It doesn't like, you know, to feel like you're drinking soup. No. No.
Yeah, it does take a while to acclimatize to Japanese wetness, I feel,
yes,
like. That's I've talked to a lot of friends who are from Canada, mm-hmm, and like everyone agrees that the humidity is the hardest part about the heat.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys do specifically to try to, I guess, do you have any kind of strategies to beat that kind of humidity, that heat?
Not leave the house.
Not leave the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if I have to leave, it's as short as possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
If there is a konbini on the way, uh-huh, going, because they have like nice air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And also at school, like, you know,
yeah,
in campus, especially in the library, mm-hmm, there is air conditioning as well. So
yeah. And also just drinking a lot of sports drink.
Yes.
Because I feel like water doesn't do anything.
Mm. Yes.
But like stuff like Pocari Sweat though, or like Aquarius, those are really good. And
yes,
in Japanese convenience stores, if you go to the freezer section, they have like frozen sports drinks, which is also,
oh, wow,
good.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's like very nice. Because,
yeah,
you can, you know, you can use it to like put it all over your body to cool,
yeah,
yourself down a bit. And once it's melted a little bit, just like start sucking on it like a popsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I recently came back from Ireland, because I was visiting Ireland,
yeah,
visiting my family a few weeks ago. And I flew back into Tokyo, and on the day I landed in Tokyo, it was insane. It was like, it was over 40, it was like, I don't know, 230% humidity, I don't even know,
yeah,
but it was just not human living temperatures,
mm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was going from like 18 degrees, nice chill Ireland, to that all of a sudden, and it was horrible. But I remember the first thing I did is like, I got off the plane, I was waiting for like the train out of Haneda Airport,
mm-hmm,
and then there was like a vending machine, and I just bought like two things of like, of okocha, of like,
yeah,
Japanese tea,
yeah,
and I just put them onto my neck just to try to cool myself off because I was so desperate.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I suppose if they're frozen, that's an even better ice pack,
mm-hmm,
isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I saw that, I'm like, oh, they're smart. And they also said for like 20 yen more expensive than the non-frozen ones.
Oh,
so I'm
business.
Like, ooh, money making.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, and also I see a lot of Japanese people with like those ice rings that they put around their necks.
Oh, yeah.
It's like little neck pillows, but like you put it in the freezer first,
mm-hmm,
to cool it down. But I don't, like, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know how effective that is, because,
yeah,
I feel like it's gonna melt super fast, right? So,
yeah,
your shirt is going to
get wet
because of the condensation,
mm-hmm,
and also it's gonna be like lukewarm and gross like after a while, so I'm,
yeah,
not quite sure about how effective that is, but that seems to be really popular. I see it everywhere, so
yeah. I haven't tried those little sticks, but you know, in Japan, like a lot of Japanese people, they have those like neck fan things.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
they put around the neck,
yeah,
and it blows like,
yeah,
air out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually great,
yeah.
And my mom's the kind of person that gets like hot really easy, so actually,
mm-hmm,
as a kind of one of my gifts, like,
yeah,
when I went back home, I got her a little like neck fan thing. She's getting great use out of it. She's
oh,
like,
that's
she's
nice,
like, this is
yeah,
great, the Japanese technology. She's so impressed.
That's nice.
But like, I read a scientific article a while back. Apparently it's not like those little fan things aren't as effective as they claim to be.
Oh.
Because when the temperature surpasses a certain point, like the air that the circulation generates is also warm.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's only effective under like, let's say 35 degrees or so. Once the temperature soars past that, like it's actually kind of detrimental to have that around you.
Oh geez, you're just blowing hot air into your face.
So yeah, watch out for any of our listeners out there who have one of those neck fans.
Speaking of heatstroke, have you ever gotten it?
I'm not sure, honestly. I might have, but I've never been told like you have heatstroke. Yeah. You know?
Have you like collapsed in the heat before or lose consciousness?
That I haven't.
Okay, that's good.
I have like recently actually. I had a competition for karate, and it was in a very hot gymnasium where they didn't have like very good ventilation.
Ooh.
And like we had for ventilation was like two huge ice cubes with fans blowing on them.
God!
Oh wow.
But it was still so hot. I think I was like really not having a good time, and right. On the next day I had a cold.
Oh geez, yeah, that sounds horrible.
But
proper ventilation is really important.
Yes.
Also, I admire even just the courage to like exercise in that kind of heat.
Exercise is actually quite important, I've heard.
Yeah.
You don't have to exercise in like the heat, but regular exercise, you know, helps your body to be like, I need to sweat. And if you don't sweat in Japan, it's like...
It's a good way to like regular body temperature.
Are there any kind of like activities that people do in Bulgaria during the summer that is kind of like, not necessarily just to avoid the heat, but is there anything they kind of do like swimming or?
I think swimming is common, and like everybody goes to the sea. Any activity specifically to avoid the heat? I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything?
Not necessarily, but like Ireland would be similar. Like we do a lot of sea swimming. We do. Like I feel like the coast in Ireland is quite different to Japan, in which it's very rocky and high.
Yeah. So you guys love cliffs.
We love cliffs. So we love jumping off cliffs. Oh. Not in a dark way. in a, ooh, let's jump into the ocean, have fun way, right? So safe cliff jumping. There's lots of piers and stuff along all these little towns and villages. So like that's like my one vivid memory of this, like every summer as a kid in, you know, high school, whenever it would be like go down to the beach, jump into the water. And the great thing about Ireland as well is like the water, even when it's in the middle of summer, it doesn't get warm. I actually don't know if that's a great thing or not, but it's still very, very cold. So like you'll jump in and whoever goes in first will like tell the person after them. It's like, oh no, it's not even cold. They're just trying to be tough, right? The next person jumps in, it's like, oh, it's so cold. It's kind of the pattern.
A circle of lies.
We all do it though, so. Okay, we're coming up on time now, so we're just going to finish up with an announcement from Sentia. The International Relations Department of Sentia provides important information, consultations, and support for foreign residents in Sendai. In addition, the department also works with civic organizations and residents to support multicultural community building, and frequently recruits supporters to help with such projects. How would you like to contribute to the internationalization of Sendai and take part in events to promote international exchange and cooperation? If Sendai's mission resonates with you, please get in contact with us and register. For details on how to sign up, please visit the website of Sentia's International Relations Department. And that's all from us this month. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.